Today, we're going to discuss the manager's mission and how every manager must consistently meet sales goals while satisfying customers at the highest level. Harry shares with us how he got his doctorate in retail, and we're going to share with you what metrics, as a manager, you must look for in order to best understand how to train your team if they're not hitting their goals. Harry, welcome back. I thought we would discuss today the manager's mission and what is the ultimate goal of a manager, a retail manager, a store manager, and what is the impact they actually have on the business, or what is the impact they should have on the business?
Justin.
Harry.
I'm feeling really spunky this morning.
I like some spunk.
Yeah. Well, you have a good question there. What's the manager's mission? This is very interesting to me because, in fact, the word mission and goal and target get all mixed up sometimes. So let's separate some of these things out. And if we want to later on bundle it as a mission, you knock yourself out. Look, it's really simple. A manager is put there to beat goal, right? That is the only reason managers are put into retail stores. You could tell me they're there to provide excellent customer service and to make sure our customers are served really well and all that, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been in so many executive meetings with retailers, Fortune 500 companies and everything else. You know, we don't talk about Fred that has a good high customer service rating as much as we talk about the fact that Fred has not achieved goal in 6 months. Let's get straight about that. Now, it is something that we want, that we need, and we have to have, because the game should never be played at the customer's expense. How's that? So you always want to achieve sales goal while satisfying our customer at the highest level. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
And let's not talk about satisfying customers at the highest level until we talk about numbers. And we could say that providing really, really outstanding customer service is really going to help us achieve goals. Would you agree with that?
100%, Harry.
Okay, so that's not an issue. So you would have to say that a manager has to get people to achieve goals while also serving the customers at the highest level possible. So let's talk about that. The vast majority of retail managers that I know of have the pedal to the metal put to them by a district manager or senior management to achieve store goal first and foremost. It is number one. Providing outstanding customer service is number two. Now, this is all fascinating to me. This is all fascinating because as a doctor of retail, which I've elevated myself to, you know, I have a doctorate from the University of getting my butt kicked out in retail for the last 45 years. you get a doctorate. You have to fully look at the whole thing. You have to take a look at the whole thing. For example, when a store is not achieving goal, man, let's put you on the spot here. So you got a manager who's got five or six salespeople on the floor, and he's not achieving goal. What's the first thing you look for, Justin? What are you looking at? What are you looking at?
Five or six salespeople not achieving goal.
Well, the store's not achieving goal.
And the store is not achieving goal.
Well, I know. I'm not going to bust you here.
Don't bust my... Come on. You're making...
No, you're supposed to be part of the team. I'm supposed to be training you, for goodness sakes. Well, I must admit, there's not one of 1,000 people that would get this right, but I know I would get it right. So the first thing I look for when a store is not achieving goal, before I start doing a tap dance on their windpipe, the first thing I look for is a conversion rate. Because in fact, if they're not achieving goal while they're selling everybody that's coming in, I mean, in other words, they have a very, very fine conversion rate. And if you were to take a look at, let's say the district is averaging 38% conversion rate, and this guy is averaging 42% conversion rate, you could say, well, my God, he's not having a problem turning shoppers into buyers. He's above average. So he's not achieving goal. So there's only a couple other answers to that. Number one, there's not enough bodies coming in the store. Or number two, their average sale is too low. Well, it takes 2 seconds to figure out if his average sale is too low. And if it's not, then it's obviously the number of bodies. And the first thing I'll do is I'll get out there and get a body count in that store, no matter what. Even if I have to hire somebody to stand in the front like we're coming through the turnstile of a sporting event with a little clicker in their hand, by golly, I'm going to find out how many bodies come in. So we're very quick to, you know, tell this guy to sell more, but we don't really know what the truth is. So you do the detective work, you do the Sherlock Holmes on this thing, and that starts to give us an impression of where the store is at. Once we have that well in hand, we start to get an idea of where this guy's store can improve. Would you agree with that? So if it's bodies, or if it's average sale, conversion rate, you see, mm-hmm. this is, and these are all factual. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no opinion here. After that, I'm going to take a look at the individuals in the store and say, okay, is there anybody that's disproportionately strong in this store, disproportionately weak? And so the methodology of getting a store to achieve goal is through these processes, you see, and as we find salespeople that are performing at a lower level, that we do further research to say, what is this person's problem? Do they not greet enough customers? Are they not converting enough customers? Do they have an average sale problem? All these things have solutions. So conversion rate has a solution, whether it's the front part of the sale that he's kind of not doing really well, he's not approaching customers, or he can't get into good conversations. Maybe it's the back end of the sale, he's having trouble with objections or closing the sale. Maybe he's not adding on, maybe he's selling from his own pocket, not selling the better goods. Wow. I mean, once you have a stat, once you have stats that are can be available for salespeople, then the solutions to their problems are quite simple to resolve. Once you do an analysis of the people on the floor, then you look at the manager and you say, wow, do people like working for this person? Is it a kind of a motivated environment? Does learning, is it continuous improvement? And there's a variety of things that you look at. I have never failed to help a manager achieve goal if they wanted to. I mean, ever. I mean, it's one of my remarkable stats. I don't think it's such a big deal. You know, when you go to the doctor, he says you need an appendectomy, and he says, you know what, your appendix are coming out today. Even if I have a cold and I don't feel good, your appendix are coming out. I mean, they don't miss, right? You know, they get the job done. It's not that big a deal. If you're going to tell someone you're going to replace their brain, you might not make it. But for the simple stuff of running a retail store, if you were to sit back a little bit and say, well, the statistics are available, the methodology to change those statistics are available. The mood, the beat, the tempo of the store is a reflection of the manager. And if this person's got it going on, then we can get there. The mission of a manager is to make sure that every salesperson achieves goal, not the store, but the individual. Because in fact, if you have some very, very top performers and some very, very pathetic performers, your store can still achieve goal. So that's not fun. So we never look at the store results. Those are results, by the way. It's not a goal. It's not a mission. It's a result. The goal to judge a manager's success is the percentage of his sales staff that achieve goal. That's a big one. One of the other statistics that we look at is the percentage of turnover in a store. If he's not turning over a huge amount, he's on point. If he's turning over a huge amount of people, then it's really not in our best interest either. And then customer service level, very, very hard to measure that. The people are happier to get on Yelp and all these places and complain about you than they are to say, I had a delightful experience. But surveys can be done, especially as they leave the store. Go get a kid from the local college, have him put his college ID around his neck and say, hey, I'm here from the local college doing a little survey. Would you mind? you might get some survey results. But frankly, mystery shopping with competent people that are highly trained to observe and understand the customer service level in the store would probably be an excellent way to do it as well.
Harry, you touched a lot on sales, but I know manager's responsibility also extends to the operational side. And I believe you've thrown in there a couple times the importance of product knowledge and how that falls on the manager. Do you want to touch a little bit on the operations?
Well, those are separate things. Product knowledge is product knowledge, operations. Okay, so how about this?
Yes.
I don't talk about operations that often because I think it is the single biggest no-brainer baloney thing that goes on in retail. Mm-hmm. And I am absolutely famous for this. If anything, I am a crazy human being about operations because I think they're so black and white and so easy that it shouldn't be a consideration. So I am not going to retreat on the reason I didn't bring it up because it's not an issue to me. So here's the thing. If you can't get the trash taken out on time every time without reservation limit or fail, there's no reason to believe you're going to get a sales increase. I mean, let's think about that for a second. So we identify the operational duties, tasks, and responsibilities. We pawn them off to all the salespeople. We get everybody involved in getting the store right, and we get the store right. It's just that simple. The store should be so clean, so immaculate, so well merchandised, so gorgeous that at whatever your decorating style is, it should just smell good, look good, feel good. There's no tape boogers on the ceiling. There's no cobwebs on the lights. You know, when I owned my electronics stores, I'll tell you, it was really interesting. Thursday was always store day, a cleanup day, and every Thursday night for an hour, the entire staff was required to be there. And we would paint. You know, somebody would scuff up a little bit of the wall. We would touch it up. If there was a little spot on the carpet, we would clean it. Light bulbs were organized, all that. So it was every Thursday for an hour. And those stores look so great. I mean, they look like the day we opened them, they just looked magnificent. I just thought this was so easy to do. I just don't even like talking about it. Any of you who have a store out there that's not exactly perfect, you just don't even get it. When you come to a Friedman management course or you come to Project Gold Star, which is our Mondo special thing, there's a whole chapter there, sales versus operations. And we take the store, we make a map of it, we divide it up, we give salespeople areas of responsibility, we have behavioral standards, we get the store right, we take pictures of the store right, so that even if the guy doesn't want to read, we say, how come your picture doesn't look like my picture? We call those pride books that show the pride of the store. So Justin, I don't talk about it, and probably I should. It's the idea that operations are easy, they're black and white, let's get them out of the way, let's rock this store, let's get our stage right so we can perform.
Do you ever have experiences, though, of a store that is performing on the sales side, but operationally they're just completely backwards? Like, how is this place even functioning, yet sales are good?
Yes, of course. Don't care.
Okay.
We still go postal on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a standard. First of all, does it happen? Yes. Does it happen for long? No. Usually those people are just so busy, understaffed, or, you know, something's going on that they didn't get it right. We just solve the problem. I mean, we just solve the problem. Get it solved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what about product knowledge?
What about it?
Well,
I mean, it's an ongoing, exciting and dynamic part of the whole sales culture and thing. We teach it to within an inch of its life. I absolutely adore product knowledge. I think it's the thing.
But is it the role of, I'm assuming, obviously, because this is the context of the podcast, role of the managers to drive product knowledge with their sales team and ensuring that each of their sales team has the adequate information to be experts in all the products they offer, all the new products that come in, correct?
Well, you already know the answer to that, but in reality today, we don't do a very, very good job of it. If the company has a training program, if they do on product knowledge, and a salesperson takes that class or course, it's interesting to know that 6 months later, the merchandise that he studied on may or may not still be there. And this is why the heavens above have created cell phones. This is the most amazing thing in the world. In my store, what we used to do, every new product that came in the store, we'd pull up the cell phone, and we would record the product knowledge on the new product, and we had a copy of it. So all salespeople had access to this education. And sometimes we didn't know enough about it, and somebody from the main office who did know about it, we would just bug them to do a little interview so we had the information. My recommendation is that every store highlight 5 products a week, put a picture of that on the back wall, have people tear apart the features and benefits, have them tear apart who the competitive products are, how it's priced in the marketplace, why it's so strong, what are its weaknesses, all those things. And then you could have little pop quizzes that are kind of fun. People love quizzes.
You think so? People
No.
love finding out what they know.
No, they don't
No,
like it at all.
not at all. Well, I think this is one of the powers of the Freedman e-learning platform is being able to upload these videos, in real time and being able to check your teams and making sure that they're watching all the new product knowledge information that you post. Because right now, I think a lot of people are looking at this going, well, how do I get all my salespeople to watch the videos? Where do I up? Load them. Am I texting everybody a video of something that I just did? No. It's a lot easier than that. There's platforms available to promote and distribute information in real time. So.
Spoken like a true sales professional as you are. Listen, Freedman Learning is the bomb. I mean, we have all these things we talk about in the podcast, obviously come to a conclusion, which is that we've already done 99% of the work out there to get you trained in the hippest, most current methodologies known to man. And people ought to head on out over there without even or call you Justin personally somewhere around 3 o'clock this morning. Anyway, getting back to the mission. The mission is for a manager to achieve goal while providing the best customer service known to man. So number one, you focused on the individuals to achieve goal, not the group. And by attaining their metrics, you can find out what their weaknesses are so that you can strengthen them. Operations is never an issue because it just gets done. Maybe it's the first thing that you get done because that'll give you discipline. And all great organizations have discipline. You can never be a great organization without discipline. And then you concentrate on making the finest presentations that result in customer satisfaction at a very, very, very high level. And you empower salespeople to satisfy and thrill customers. It's another issue is empowerment. But when you trust people, you can empower them to make great decisions for customers. Really, you really can. And that's the mission. It shouldn't be more complex than all that.
Fantastic. Well, Harry, any final thoughts to all the managers out there listening to this going, holy crap, I need to get my act together.
In those words, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
I've managed so many stores. I think the manager, my final thought is the manager is the single most important position in the entire company. Without reservation, I say that, and I truly mean it. I would say salespeople are the most important, but frankly, because we turn them a little bit more often than we'd like to, the consistent messenger and messenger at store level is the manager, and they really rock the world. They're the superstars to me. I've never had a problem achieving goal because I've always understood that it was an individual thing, not a collective thing. And as the individuals start to achieve goal, the store has no problem. I always ran a store with incredible discipline because I didn't want the store to work against me. I wanted the store to work for me. So I got the store looking spick and span and ready to go for the day's work. And I spent all my time on the floor with salespeople and customers trying to thrill them. And if I did those things, which I did, but if I continue to do those things, the store never really had a problem achieving goal. And that's the mission. It's achievable. It's doable. And I look forward to some managers writing us and telling us how they've rocked the Casbah, as it were.
You've been listening to Retail Revisited. If our conversation today inspired you, please be sure to rate us on iTunes or share us with your friends. You can see a full list of all our episodes at thefriedmangroup.com. And for more information on how the Friedman Group can transform your business, you can contact us at sales@thefriedmangroup.com. A special thanks to Harry J. Friedman for sharing his 35 years of unbelievable experience for all of us to hear.